Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening. Welcome to The Gathering, brought to you by Signs of Life Radio. This is our once-a-month segment where we have a discussion panel and we welcome your calls. We're here with Melissa Gould and Fran and Bob. And Tom Gould has a pressing engagement. He couldn't be here with us, but he's here with us in spirit.
Absolutely. So go ahead, call in, ask his spirit whatever question,
right.
And it will answer.
Well, oddly enough, tonight's topic is when the deceased contact us. So people have sent in some of their experiences, and we would welcome you to call in with one that you'd like to share. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And tonight's sponsor is ComLock, the ComLock Center. You can find them on the web at ComLock, K-A-M-L-A-K.com. And Fran, before we get started, let's get some of these announcements done.
Okay, yeah. Always want to remind all of our listeners to just go to the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and check the events page regularly, because we're always posting new things. And once a month, we do try to get a list of all those things out to our members. And so if you're listening and you're not a member, you want to go to our website and become a member. It's free. And then you will get our weekly emails about the radio show and our additional emails about our events. So to let our listeners know what they might be missing that's coming up this month, we have on March 11th from 2 to 3 p.m., that's Eastern Time, noon 11 to noon Pacific, our Visionary Explorers group. It's an online meeting, so you can calculate that time depending on where you are. You can go to the website and get the information on joining this group. On March 12th from 2 to 4, we have our Afterlife Discussion Group meeting in Sanibel, Florida. And on March 25th, from 1 to 3 p.m., our Afterlife Discussion Group is meeting in Miami, Florida. It's a Florida month. And again, if you want to attend either of these group meetings, these are in person, and you can go and get the details on the website, and you could sign up and RSVP that you're coming on the website. Our next webinar of the year is Mediums and Mediumship, Historical Highlights. And that will be presented by Dr. Carlos Alvarado on March 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern. That is a webinar. You can get, again, all the information on our webinars at the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you could sign up there as well. Our super early bird registration for our annual grief retreat is up on the website, and that super early bird registration will end at the end of this month on March 31st. We do recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off premises. If you are booking early, please, please, please keep in mind our no refund policy. This event only gets better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still here with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann LoCicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone. They will be working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle drawing is next month. And as of this moment, we only have 28 people who have entered. So you do the math. For just $5, you can win one of 5 one-hour medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Dustin Livers, Ginger Quinlan, Nancy Marlowe, Heidi Jaffe, or Bobby Allison. The drawing is April 22nd, which happens to be Earth Day. And please, please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Just remember to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And a last reminder to visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all events, links, information, and registration. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, that's a mouthful.
And, oh, yeah.
Tonight's show is going to be a discussion of personal experiences that our listeners and members have had, and the email that was sent out to you was entitled, When the Deceased Contact Us. So we're talking about ways in which people in the spirit world initiate contact, you know, with those in the physical world. And maybe a good way to start the conversation is one of the mediums that are certified by Forever Family Foundation, and she doesn't mind us using her name in this instance, you know, Siri Bernsons from Iceland. And she knew that her mother was very sick and flew over there to be with her. And we've been in communication. And on Sunday, she sent me an email, and she said, "Today we were having lunch in the dining room, and my sister says, I cannot for the life of me remember where Mom's passport is. Then the sound from a radio starts, the equivalent of NPR with classical music. I didn't say anything, but thought it was odd because my sister never plays that station, only our mom. Then she looks to her side, obviously hearing the classical music, gasps, and stands up without saying a thing. She goes out in the hallway and comes back with Mom's radio that started playing totally, totally out of the blue, and my sister is holding Mom's wallet and purse and passport. I just sat there in awe, total awe and amazement. I had said to my dad in spirit, please send my sister a sign, something like turn on the radio. I said this earlier in the day silently because she just wanted a sign. I knew Mom was fine because in the evening my brother and sister had left for the night. I stayed holding Mom's hand. I started playing some of Dad's and her favorite tunes on my phone, and I said, Mom, go fly away with Dad. She did so about 30 minutes after I stopped playing the song. She was finally ready, and I held her gently in my arms when she passed and kissed her as she took her last breath. You know, how fortunate, you know, first of all, you know, as a medium, being open, you know, to such things, and to, and we hear this often, you know, when sitting with people that are getting ready to pass and giving them almost permission, you know, because people have a natural instinct, and, you know, not to let go, and sometimes, you know, so they just have to be told it's okay, you know, to let go. And she followed up 2 days later with another email. My sister and I were at the funeral home today. We had looked at caskets, and then as we stood in front of the case looking at urns, my sister and I, both touching one urn at the same time, said, what do you think about this one? Mom would have liked it. At that precise moment, the massive sound of an alarm went blasting through the building. The lady who was leading us through this said, oh my goodness, this has never happened before, never, ever, and we left to go outside. I've never witnessed spirit playing with electricity before with my own eyes. This is now a daily thing. I'm spoiled. This is a ton of signs. And as we, I know we discussed this at our afterlife discussion group yesterday, but she, Siri, said, do you think that since I work in the field and I'm wide open to the signs and possibilities, do you think that they rattle more things when they know that people are open to paying attention? And we had some varying opinions on that. I mean, does spirit recognize when you're open and do more things, or do you think it's the opposite?
I'm just smiling at this because Siri is a very talented medium, and she's asking us.
Oh, that's right.
But I think that the reason for that is because she's such a talented an open and connected medium, is that for her, making that connection is as easy as opening a refrigerator door. It's just there for her.
Natural.
And as she said in this email, you know, she's getting spoiled because she never witnessed them playing with the electricity. So it's kind of the reverse. We're in awe when a medium does a reading, mm-hmm. right? Because we're getting, quote unquote, tired of the lights flickering on and off and the radio turning itself on. We want to hear from them, and here's the medium with the reverse. No, I want to see all these electric things because this is super.
That's a good point.
True.
It is.
Anybody
wants to do is, you know, talk to the dead, and here you have somebody talking to the dead, and she's in awe of the electrical apparatus.
Yeah.
So it is pretty interesting.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Right. So let's go to a break. We come back. We'll start reading some of the accounts that you've sent in, or if you wish to call, the number is 888-627-6008. We're going to go to our announcements, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about personal communications, when the deceased contact us. Some of you have sent in your experiences to our email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And Monique writes, "My father has been deceased for over 12 years. One morning I was driving home from taking my kids to school when I noticed the gentleman in the car next to me. I was admiring his arms. I have something for tan, physically fit arms. They remind me of my dad. Tears welled up in my eyes as I found myself missing him. I got home to start my day. I was planning a get-together with friends later. I forgot the morning's incident as I went to the local corner grocery store, and while I was leaving, the clerk handed me a beautiful bouquet of flowers and said they were for me. Shocked, I said, 'For me? This never happens to me.' I left, and as I always do, I was putting my groceries in the car. I realized they were from my dad. Whenever he came to visit, he would always bring me flowers. I started to cry again, so grateful he was near. I got in the car, started the engine, and the song 'Always Something There to Remind Me' by Naked Eyes was playing. 'Always Something There to Remind Me, Always Something There to Remind.' There was the ending of the song where that phrase just keeps repeating. I recognize my dad, knowing that there is always something there to remind me of him. I just need to open my eyes, listen, and acknowledge." And that's right. This is an example of one of the many ways he shows me he is here. So I guess it shouldn't explain how she got it. The guy just handed her a bouquet of flowers.
She doesn't explain that. She also doesn't really explain, like, she starts up the story with, "So I noticed there's a man sitting next to me." Not like a spirit sitting next to me. It's like any other person noticing a person suddenly sitting in the car with them might get a bit...
Well, I think it was the car next to her and the driver
yeah?
in the car next
oh.
to her. And probably his arm was on the window.
Oh, now I get it.
And then
okay.
she caught sight of his arms and thought of her dad, which made me think of my dad, by the way, because he always had a tan and, you know, usually in short sleeve shirts.
So wow.
That made me think of my dad.
And my father used to drive with his hand out the window, and so he always had a tan on one arm.
Right. So but so if the the person in the grocery store had given her, you know, the bouquet of flowers and said, "It's for you," her dad in spirit could very well have implanted that thought into the grocery mm-hmm. person and said, "This woman could use a bouquet of flowers," right?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how spirit works?
Well, we've seen that over and over again where they orchestrate things from the other side, where it's, you know, it's hard for us to say, you know, definitely that's what happened, but every piece of information points to the fact that that's the only explanation, is that they've taken care of this particular very strange situation for taking place.
Well, we also, just in our normal day-to-day lives, sometimes we just do something, you know, spontaneously, not with a lot of thought behind it. And so that shopkeeper or whoever it was who handed her the flowers could have suddenly been influenced, like, "Hey, you know, this person looks like they could use some flowers," and not even giving it too much thought. I mean, we don't know the scenario, but so we all could be sort of nudged by spirit at times, give a smile, when someone really needed that smile. And
well, I think there's plenty of stories where we are, quote-unquote, nudged by spirit, particularly when it comes to them protecting us. Like, you've heard so many stories where somebody is driving down a road that they drive down every single day, the same day at the same time, and then one day they just feel compelled to make a left turn only to find out that they avoided an accident that happened down the road. So you know, the good and the wonderful, they're there for us.
Another person writes, she was struggling with grief for several days, went to bed one night and cried till I fell asleep. In the morning, as I was just starting to wake up, I was feeling depressed and just lay there on my side listening to the birds chirping. Then I felt, I assume this was from a male, because then he says, I felt her energy snuggle up against my back, something we often did when she was alive, and suddenly the depression vanished. All was right with the world, and I fell back to sleep. When I awoke, I was in a much better mood, happy again, and engaged in my normal activities again.
Now, that's amazing that it can change, and not that we're just noting that. I mean, we hear this over and over again, where this is not just an occurrence. It's something that's more than just an occurrence. It comes with a whole change of mind attached to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's miraculous in and of itself.
Also, it's extremely common in all of these reports, and we have many of them, where people feel, it's not just a sense of presence, they actually feel a snuggle or a rubbing or a touch or a kiss. Mm-hmm. It happens more often than people think, you know, so
right.
It's that's pretty impressive, too. Another example, my mother told the story of a very sick great aunt whose sister had passed away a short time before the great aunt and was on her deathbed. The family decided not to tell her since it would be too much for her. A few days later, the great aunt was very close to passing away herself when she suddenly sat up in bed and said, "Why, there's my sister Leela. She looks wonderful," and then died shortly thereafter. That story has stuck with me since adolescence and really started my journey toward believing in the afterlife. Those accounts, and this is not the first time that we've come across them, are so evidential, you know, because you can't make the argument that it's a, you know, hallucination. I mean, or wishful thinking. You know, the person, she did not know that her sister had already passed, and because they didn't tell her, and then she saw her sister, who was obviously coming to say hello or goodbye, you know. So how cool is that?
That must have been a comfort, very cool. a big comfort to the family who's in the know and knew.
Yeah.
Now, this says anonymous, but I think I know who wrote it. Besides all the signs I see that I feel are from my loved ones, a dream I had not long ago after my father-in-law passed clearly felt like contact from him. He was not a believer in the afterlife. He was a giving man who had a hard time accepting help in any form from anyone. In my dream, he was struggling in the water in a lake at the bottom of a wooded hill. Other family members showed no great concern, even when I asked if I should call 911. He then appeared to me at the window of the cabin I was in, having somehow made it up the hill. I could see his bare chest was dripping wet. Without actually speaking, he silently communicated to me, "I need your help." To me, because I was a believer, it meant that he needed my assistance in helping him to communicate to others from the other side. After that dream, he came through numerous times in readings. It gave my mother-in-law great peace of mind, fully believing that he was still with her and that they could and they would someday be reunited. So that anonymous person I'm sitting next to, so I hope you don't mind, but if you can elaborate that some people... See, my first thing in reading this was that when he said, "I need your help," some people might have been taken aback by that or somewhat disturbed, but you instinctively knew why he was saying it, so there was no distress.
I felt that way.
Yeah.
I felt that way. No, and no distress at all. And, you know, it just, to me, is an example of a visitation, a type of dream that's a visitation, because he passed in 2003, and yet I was able to write that down for you last week or whenever, and it's as clear as if I had it last night.
Mm.
And how many dreams can you really recall that vividly? But if you can, I would count those as visitations. So I really felt that way. And in many ways, and this, it's kind of sad to put it like this, but I almost felt closer and more comfortable with him after he passed. I think shy of older men in general. Just didn't maybe have a close relationship with my grandparents or even really with my dad, so I wasn't really that comfortable just being, you know, open and feeling close to an older gentleman. And even though we got along beautifully, I didn't feel like we had that really close a relationship as we could have until after he passed.
Yeah.
And then it was like I was talking to him all the time and, you know, asking for his help. So it's interesting. But the good thing is, when I said it's kind of sad that I didn't act that way when he was here, I feel like he knows it now and it's all totally fine.
So my question is, did the relationship change once he crossed over, or was that physical barrier? You know, we all have a personality that we exude to the public or to other people, and sometimes it's different than the one we would show to our family or to a spouse than somebody we would show in business or somebody we would show to an in-law that just came into the family. So all those barriers are gone when you cross over to the other side. So then would not his personality that would come through be different than the personality that you experienced when he was in the physical?
That is quite possible. That is. And I had a beautiful reading that year that we all were in the Bahamas, a surprise reading that I was gifted with, where he came through and, you know, he talked about how close we were, and he even said, well, if my son wouldn't have married you, I would. And I was just like, yeah, I think that soul connection was there, but that physical connection.
I think that's the key thing that you just said, the soul connection, because we do hear a lot of talk about soul groups. Mm-hmm. And what if you are part of his soul group, you know, and by marrying Tom, you reunited the soul groups in the physical.
I like that.
So, who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll find out soon.
Yes. Not soon.
An interesting one. My battery-operated clock in my living room stopped at about the time of my friend's death. The previous couple of days, I had tried to contact my friend without any success. About this time, I noticed my clock stopped. The normal feeling was that the battery died and I would need to replace it. Something told me not to touch the clock, and I decided to contact Glenn's stepmother to have her check on him. She contacted me back, sadly telling me he was found dead in his apartment. I didn't touch the clock in my living room for about 6 days, when suddenly it started running again on its own. I reset the clock and rewound it, thinking it would run down in a couple of hours. It never did. It has run accurately ever since without me ever having to change the battery. And it has been almost 2 years since Glenn's passing. Can't say for sure that this was a supernatural act, but the odd timing of all these weird coincidences lends itself to a higher probability of this.
Like that.
Being somewhat analytical, but again, very, very common to have clocks stop at the time of somebody's death, and it's really uncanny, because when you go and a lot of people check it, and the clock stops at the exact minute that the other person passes. So can't explain it, but it happens. It just there's no physical explanation for it. It happens time and time again. Not certainly not the first time you've heard that.
No, but I remember a childhood song about that, right? My grandfather's clock was too large for a shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. 90
stop.
Years with it, and it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. That's her story.
Look at you two who have memories. I actually recall these things. I mean, as you're saying it, I kind of recognize it. I certainly wasn't thinking of somebody dying when I heard that as a child.
But think about it, though. Here we're in elementary school. We're learning these songs. you know, were we not paying attention there to the significance of the song?
Like Ring Around the Rosie? I mean, that's, you know, all the...
Right, they all have...
I knew Casper was a friendly ghost. another report. My grandfather appeared next to me in a car and told me he had died. He was about only two-thirds of his size here on Earth and somewhat transparent. 45 minutes after this, I arrived at my home and a wife told me that my grandfather had died. Didn't elaborate more, but it wouldn't surprise me if he died at the exact time that he appeared, you know, because that's common through the centuries of those reports, you know.
Saying the size, two-thirds of his size. I mean, I'm thinking he looked quite small next to her in the car, or he had been quite a large man and now just was diminished.
If you're newly deceased, to materialize in the physical must be a supernormal feat, you know. So, you know, so maybe you don't quite get it exact, you know.
you hear materializations that are anything from a full physical touching body to a simple ray of light, and yet the person who's receiving the visitation knows instinctively who it is.
That's the key.
This person in their home had a photo of a loved one on his wall, which is his favorite to this day. In the middle of the night, I hear a bang. Her photo, which was in the living room, fell. Didn't break, so I hung it back up. Half hour later, it fell again. This time, my husband got up thinking I didn't know how to hang up a photo properly. He came back to bed, and as soon as he sat on the bed, the photo fell again. This time, I told him my mother does not like her photo in the living room. It's never used. The family always goes to the family room, and she cannot be with the family. I'm putting her in the bedroom tonight. Tomorrow, I'll hang the photo in the family room. Since hanging it in the family room, it has never fallen again. She can now be with the family. He still thinks that the frame was defective.
All right, so wait, I want to visit that, because we know that they don't need their picture in the room to be present, for them to be present in the room with us. So was not this perhaps a manifestation of the woman herself thinking that the picture needed to be in the living room?
I think the first statement you said, we know that, but we've often heard through our mediums readings with others that they comment on a picture of themselves and they want it in a certain place. So it has nothing to do with them physically being along with that picture, but it's just
right.
Like, I'd like you to be looking at my picture when you're in the family room, not...
Right, but what I was bringing up is that, yeah, and we've heard those stories before when they come through and they say, I really would like my, you know, vase to be in the kitchen and not in the living room. It's not because they'll be able to be present in the kitchen and not the living room. It's because they want it there. But this is the woman, the surviving woman of the mother, that's saying, I believe that the picture should be in the living room. That's why it keeps falling off of the wall. So what I'm saying is, maybe it's her own manifestation of energy that makes it keep falling off the wall, because she, deep down inside...
It could be psychokinesis from the living,
right.
You know, as opposed to spirit. Or the spirit, the mother was very, very attached to the home and was very meticulous and liked things in a certain way, and she's newly deceased and perhaps... still had some sort of
right, which is exactly what Melissa said. But
yeah.
when the person who wrote that writes the story,
right.
She makes the comment that my mother can't be with us
right.
anymore unless the picture
right.
is there, and we know that.
It's legitimate. It's a legitimate theory that she's causing that. Just the way that we hear a lot of these supposed, you know, poltergeist type, you know, case, same principle. You know, using your thought and your emotions to affect physical matter could do that. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to continue with your stories, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're sharing personal experiences, and maybe it's time to go to our phones, take a call.
We have Kathy from Virginia.
Jay?
Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Fran. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there.
You have something that you would like to share?
Yes, I have a story about my son, Aiden, who sent us a pretty big sign recently. On Facebook, you know how they give you certain memories, like 5 years ago, this is what you were doing, and
right.
one of them had come up, and it was a memory of actually a time that my son had hijacked my Facebook page. I must have left it up, and he had written a little note there about how he was my favorite son, and he was much better than the other two. He probably called them a name, but I won't go into that. And I generally don't share that on Facebook. I look at those memories and, you know, have a moment and move on. But for some reason that night I was very moved to share this. So I shared it, and I did a little write-up on Facebook about it, and I ended it with, I really wish he was still here to hijack my Facebook page again. Well, the next morning I wake up and my internet is totally crashed.
Oh.
So I do everything possible to fix it. I unplug this, I plug that in, I stand on my head, nothing is working. I can't get the internet to work. So I called our provider, and they were saying all of their signals were showing that they were coming in, no problem. And then I called, we have the airport, the Apple airport capsule as our wireless router. So I called Apple to see if we were having a problem with that, and she finally helped me, the customer service rep helped me fix it all, and she figured out what the problem was, and she said, but what I really want you to do to be sure we have it all done is to shut everything down, reboot it, set it back to the original settings, and have it come back up again. So I went through all of her steps, and I did all of that, and our wireless, the wireless name for our home was MacFam 5. And so I shut everything down, I turn it back on, and our new wireless name in the home is now Aiden Max Internet, or Aiden Max Wireless.
Oh.
No idea how that would have happened. I have no idea other than he was showing me he can still mess with my internet.
And spell.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And also, you know, I mean, I wasn't surprised when, you know, you got knocked off, because that, you know, sometimes energy from spirit can be overpowering, you know. But
right.
I can't explain the other part.
No.
Well, I think we can't figure
that one out either.
No, and I think that's Aiden's way of showing you that he's still your favorite.
Don't tell the others.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
That was a great story.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty remarkable. And I was saying that I have so many miraculous signs that my boys have shown that I could be a special guest and take up your whole night. But I know a lot of other people have stories too.
Well, thank you, and I hope you get a lot more communications from Aiden, and I hope that we see you again soon.
Yeah, I'll see you at the next next conference summer.
All right,
oh, wonderful!
Good. All right, good.
Looking forward to that.
Yes.
All right. Take
okay.
Care.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy.
Oh, that was a fun story.
That was
I like
a great
that.
Story.
I mean, those are the kinds of things you can hold on to. That, you know, it makes it just warms you and
just the fact they could change the name of the router is amazing. But it just shows you what they are capable of when they can have their energy enter our physical world.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Let's see. Another one here. Seeing a dead priest as a young man in my hospital ICU room after delivering my firstborn son, he interacted with us as though he was real, and after he left, we opened the curtain within 10 seconds, and he was gone. Not in any other room, not in the hall, no nurse had seen him either, and we both saw him dressed differently. I saw a green cardigan with an Irish pin, and my husband saw a black sweater with an Irish pin. So a lot of people talk about seeing, in what they would term as angels, or people, that are there to help, and they see them, but nobody else, sees them. This is a little different because evidently she and her husband both saw this person that nobody else saw, but they saw him dressed differently.
Wait, maybe they saw two different spirits.
That's possible, too.
Did she open it by saying a dead priest, meaning a priest they knew who had passed away and now was visiting them?
That's the way I interpreted it. That it had to be somebody that she would know, how would she know that the priest and that he was dead?
Dead.
Yeah.
Right.
But I just thought, sometimes also, just like in life when you have two witnesses that see an accident or a crime and then they're called in by the police and they're asked to describe it, and even though two people saw exactly the same thing, the descriptions are completely different because of, with anxiety and the spur of the moment and
circumstances. Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's our own perception that we live with in the physical world. I don't think that my perception of something is exactly the same as your perception of it, Bob, or your perception of it, Melissa. And that we look at things within that perspective of the material that we have in our minds. And that's what gives us the power to describe it, taste it, smell it, see it. And I think every single person is different in that. That's my own observation, and that's why I don't think that these courts of law are even good, because you can have too many witnesses, and they can have all different stories, and they're all right.
Want to go to another call?
Sure.
Okay. I think we have Jeanette on the line.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Jeanette.
Jeanette.
Hi, how are you? I want to let you guys know how much I enjoyed that conference you had in Fort Myers. It was wonderful. It was life-changing for me, so thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Jeanette.
You have an experience?
No problem, but I just wanted to let you know that I, too, as one of the callers mentioned, have received so many signs from a very dear and beloved friend of mine named Richard. That it's incredible. And one thing I would recommend to callers to people who receive signs is to record them. And, that has helped me so much. I have a journal where I record all the signs of, all the messages he sent me, and I love it. But one particular message is very poignant in a very special picture that I have of the two of us. His image has started to appear in different parts of that picture. And it's him as a younger man. It's just the most incredible thing. There are at least two images of him in that picture that was taken years ago on a cruise. And these have come out after he died.
Oh, that's
now, it is a picture of a picture. The original picture kind of changed a little bit, but then changed back. But in that picture, by the way, and in the picture of the picture, one eye changed colors and is looking straight at me. It's really, it's like, to me, it was like a gift. And there's an illumination over my head, kind of like saying, I'm watching over you, I'm illuminating you. I mean, it's really such a special gift. And it is just one of hundreds of incredible signs that I've received from this man.
Yeah, and it's very good advice that you mentioned, because
journaling,
because let's face it, we forget sometimes you receive so many things, and also, when those times when you start to doubt yourself, it's comfortable to look back and say, wait a second, how this and happen, so it be true.
Yeah, I know. Another advice I would give people is to, when they see a sign, to accept it as a sign, even if somebody else tells them it wasn't. If their gut tells them it is a communication, they need to accept it, because I think that once they do, then other communications will start.
I agree with that, Jeanette. And I think there's, when people say, oh, that's not a sign, well, to you it is, and it made you think of your loved one, and that's worth everything.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And but again, thank you all for the great work that you do.
Thank you, and thank you for calling, and I hope you get a lot more communication.
Oh, I think she will.
I'm hoping. I know I will. Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
She raises a very, very good point about the journaling, not just to have a collection of these things to turn to at a time of need, but we see this over and over again. The act of journaling an experience or a dream visit or something that happens, you're actually revisiting it in your mind's eye. So you are exercising that muscle in your body that allows you to receive more communication. So, of course, yes, journal, 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 journal.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, a tremendous number of people have these, you know, some people call them synchronicities, some people, you know, will call them, you know, after-death communications, whatever it is. I mean, this is an example of it. I have called out specifically to loved ones for a sign and gotten unmistakable responses on several occasions. As recently as last month, I told my father I hadn't heard from him in a while. The next day I was taking a walk and noticed a van blocking the intersection and thinking, what a jerk, no one can pass around him and he's just stopped there, only to notice the van belonged to a company with my father's name, Harry's Air Conditioning. Their address was my father's anniversary date, 11/13. It was the way that the van so stood out and called attention to itself that was big to me. How else to get me to read the name and address on the van? And, of course, as they do on the other side, it was perfectly timed to the moment they came down the block.
Great is that. That's terrific.
I love that. I love that. You know, Bob, I know this comes up from some of our meetings and talking to people, but I just recalling a family member saying when her dad passed, they had agreed on a sign, and she hasn't seen it yet. So there was something specific, she wouldn't mention what it was, but something specific that they had agreed upon. And so she's, you know, maybe missing a lot of other signs because she's just looking for that one.
Right.
What do you tell people? They're feeling disappointed. I mean, I can say, well, look for other.
Yeah, but just because somebody makes an agreement that that's the sign they're going to do, they don't, while they're here in the physical world, don't know what their capabilities are going to be when they get to the other side. So maybe it's something that this person is not capable of doing.
Or the person on the other side is saying, okay, look, I've sent you this damn sign 32 times and you didn't get it. I'm picking another sign. You know, you may not be paying attention properly or if for whatever reason, it's just not coming across.
Or if she were actually, not that I'm, you know, bugger to share it, but had, perhaps if she shared what it was, someone could help her understand, you know, maybe you did see that. I mean, it could be words, it could be an object. I really have no idea. But perhaps she's being too literal.
Yeah, or too secretive. You know, sometimes you need to verbalize something to manifest it.
I suppose she doesn't want to share it.
Yeah,
so
and
that
I blame her because
make it happen.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want that element of question to enter it. You want it to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that 100%.
Well, you know, we have loads of other experiences, and not enough time, of course, to get to them. But we will continue those on another show. And if you have others that you'd like to share for future shows, the email is radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And I'll turn it over to you, Fran.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Linda Ellis, Watona Robards, Alice Young, Letha Beam, Eugene Brown, Chase Young, Rod Sunderland, Paul Robards, Janice Barber, Christy Richardson, Michelle Hunter, Grayson Pierce Keene, Maverick Orion Keene, Eddie, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBlay, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsburg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, and Evelyn Ingram. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones only are a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.